Now, our next guests this afternoon have travelled the world filming the world's biggest waves, documenting the men and women crazy enough to ride them. Tim Bonython has been filming surfers for 4 decades, and he joins us today to talk about his new film, The Big Wave Project, which premieres across New South Wales over the next month, and especially tonight. Tim, and we've got Shannon as well. Tim, welcome to the show. Hey,
thanks, mate. Mick. Thanks for having us.
And Shannon as well.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks for coming on down to SCR, especially after a busy day. Now, I'm really excited because big waves are something that I look at and freak me right out. You know, like, I like swimming. I like going out in the surf.
Yeah.
But when that big one's coming and it's like your heart starts jumping into your chest, it's like, what do you do? How do you feel when you guys are out there?
Shannon's the surfer, I'm the filmmaker.
But you're out there too, right?
But,
filming?
But yeah. Well, you know, the one thing about it is, like, if you're not really into surfing big waves or even, you know, dealing with it in any way, it could be 2 foot and you swim out and suddenly you've got this 2 foot wave coming at you and you just don't know how you're going to deal with it. So your brain goes into a panic mode, which is kind of the worst thing you could, you don't want that kind of panic thing happening because you sap up all your energy and all your oxygen straight away, even before the waves hit you. And that's how people drown. You know, they drown pretty much on the panic side of things, you know, not so much just because they can't swim. They're kind of already dying in that first couple of seconds, you know, which is really a shame because it happens a lot. But big wave surfers condition themselves to Mother Nature at most fierce. And you know, really it's all about experience and it's all about being, you know, relaxed with your environment around you. And so the guys that I deal with are a lot more prepared than they used to be. And so that means things have changed a hell of a lot to cut down the risk factor of dying.
Yep.
So flotation is very, very important. These days they've got even what they call flotation vests that will allow oxygen to, they have a ripcord and they pull that ripcord and it'll blow up like a balloon inside your suit.
Bring you right up
to
the surface.
Yeah, and you know, it's one
the
on
eject
it.
Button.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can have a 2-3 wave hold down where you just cannot get to the surface because the water keeps flowing downwards, not up. And that's the time that you're getting close to drowning. And so you'll pull that ripcord and that'll bring you to the surface. And you know, you've got to be careful you don't rip it off because I've heard guys actually pull that ripcord too hard. But last year I had a situation where a well-known big wave surfer had actually ridden the biggest wave he'd ever paddled into. He paddled into what was almost an 80-foot wave at Piahi in Jaws.
Wow.
And then 5 months later, I'm in Fiji filming a big swell event, as we do. And I was on one boat from the Tavarua Resort. And we were kind of warming up where the guys were getting ready to get out there. The surf hadn't gone to the maximum size at that time of day. It was early in the morning. But someone had wiped out up the reef. And I didn't really take much notice. I was just prepping my gear and all that. And then suddenly I heard all this pandemonium going on. And someone had drowned. And so next thing I know, I see this guy's getting dragged up on a boat, like blue. So no breathing, no heartbeat, no nothing. You know, he was pretty much dead. And so straight away, these guys are very good at going straight into that rescue mode. And resuscitation, CPR was put straight into the surfer. And then I was told within about 2 minutes, you know, that's Aaron Gold, the guy that actually caught that big wave, that world record wave in Hawaii. And I went straight away. I couldn't believe that I was actually seeing this situation. And I had my camera in my hand. I was a bit nervous. Should I shoot this video, this kind of thing? And so I kind of thought, well, I'm a journalist. This is what I do. I better document it. But luckily, within 10 minutes later, he started throwing up and came back to life and started breathing again. And just goes to show, you know, like a band of brothers, and that's what the subtitle to the Big Wave Project's all about, is how these guys look after each other. And in this case, they were right there. They went straight into the vital moments, and it's vital that you get stuck into CPR, beating that chest out as quick as possible. And but the one thing that Aaron didn't do that day, because the surf wasn't as huge as it was going to get into later in the day, is he had absolutely no flotation.
Okay.
So what happened was, if that leg rope would have broken and taking in all that water, you don't come to the surface. You stay pretty much underwater.
Wow.
He mightn't have seen him ever again alive.
So it was really important in that case that there was people there to seeing it and helping him at the time.
Absolutely.
And being the brothers, like you say. Is that important when surfing, is especially big waves, is if you've got people, a crew, people around you know, you're not going out by yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Having other jet skis there and competent guys that can drive them and actually be able to get in there and give you a helping hand when you need it is utmost importance for sure.
Now, as big wave surfing, it's sort of had a renaissance, I reckon, over the last few years. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, you know, it was a big thing, you know, Hawaii, you see these huge waves. But over the last, I guess, 10 years, it's really come back as a sport as well.
Well, I don't think it ever... It never disappeared because the only time really that people were exposed to it is when it comes up on the news.
Okay.
Really, you know, and when it comes up on the news, everybody stops. Everyone looks, you know, and goes, oh, my God, that is crazy.
Yeah.
And I kind of recognize that as a filmmaker. I thought, you know, if this is what, and, you know, like even sometimes selling some footage to networks to be able to show that footage to the world was how I survived. You know, it's not a very lucrative business I'm in, but at the same time, it's been something that I believe that everybody wants to see. And that's the beauty of this sport is these guys need to be total athletes. Yeah. They don't just rock up and surf a big wave and hopefully they're going to get a photograph in a magazine. You know, it's they're now like the sport has evolved so much in the last 10 years. So now the World Surf League has put on big wave events. Mm-hmm. And so it's literally the cream and the elite of the world's best big wave surfers are going to compete on one given day. They're going to compete to ride the best and biggest wave of the day. And if you ride a really good wave and you ride it well, you advance to the next heat. And obviously the guy who does the best on the day normally wins. Mm-hmm. And I've been documenting a couple of these events. I've just started. So Piahi last year, they had their first major big wave contest, which is at Jaws and on Maui. And then last year I chased Swell to Portugal, and that's my latest favorite spot to document
Portugal.
Which is a place called Nazaré, and they had what they call the Nazaré Challenge, which is actually put on by the Portuguese government because they know that this place does create the world's biggest rideable wave, and it's going to be a major tourist mecca for people wanting to see this wave, and it breaks so close to the coast. It's just so exciting to see this and for me to document it and to document the action that these athletes are putting themselves through. It's just some of the most dramatic moments in sport that I can envisage, and to, you know, because it's a split second moment that they actually ride that big monster wave and we capture that, and that's my job is to show that on the big screen and tour it around the world.
I always wondered that as a filmmaker filming waves, obviously the wave where it's breaking the biggest is where the surfer is. But when you're filming it, how do you know? Do you just know over the years of where the best spot to be on the wave is to sort of make sure you don't get smashed?
Yep.
And you just learn just by looking at it, oh, I've got to be a bit further over here. Is that how it works?
Well, it's my job to – it's a lot of different things. Firstly, okay, it starts with just – getting making sure you know when you go to somewhere that the surf's going to be good. So you've got to be able to judge the charts, to look at the maps, watch what the storm's doing. When that swell hits this place, is the wind's going to be right? The weather's going to be nice? Is it going to be good? Okay, it's going to be good, so we're going. We ring up the surfers. Are you going? You're looking at the swell. The surfers are normally looking at the same thing I'm looking at, so we're all on the same page. We turn up on the day or the night before. We prep, get the cameras ready. Now, the cameras have got to be ready because we're not just sitting on the coast. Like Nazaré, you probably will, but places like the Right where Shannon Worrell surfs and Shipstone's Bluff or Chopu in Tahiti, we're going to be there right at the moment. And so therefore you have to rely on, you're not driving and shooting normally.
Yeah.
Normally the best thing to do is have a driver, and his job is to get you into the most important critical spot closest to the action to get the best possible.
And you should see where this guy ends up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got spit out of barrels before and you almost run into Tim. He's almost so close.
I was wondering, do you notice him? He's filming when you...
You try to forget, but it becomes very obvious because the guys really do put themselves right on the edge of it.
Yeah. So when we've got to get as close as possible.
Is it on jet ski?
Yeah, well, normally at the Right, we normally use a jet ski. At Chopu, it's boats.
Okay.
But people can still obviously shoot on the jet ski. Boats are sort of normally bigger than the jet ski, so you can get blocked and you don't want to be blocked. So it's kind of a funny thing because in Tahiti it's normally a boat, so because you need to be up and sitting in a spot that'll get you out really quickly. Like Chopu is very dangerous to document. I think the Right is probably less dangerous, but I've come off there a couple of times off the jet ski. You know, you're kind of trying to get that shot. So if the ski whips around, like I remember one time the ski whipped around thinking he was in the bad zone. And so he pulled out and then whipped around. I fell off the ski. And there's me floundering in the water with a camera.
Yeah, right.
I got a 20 to 30 foot wall of heaviest water you could ever imagine coming at me. I certainly had my heart in my mouth.
I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
But it's important that we get in that zone, that moment, to be able to get that shot, that critical shot, because the surfers don't do it for fun. They're doing it because, sure, they're getting a rush out of it, but they're doing it because they want to be documented. I'm sure they're not going to go out there.
Is that true, Tim?
No, I was going to say, well, I've known Tim for a while, and I'm kind of in it for the fun. But, yeah, I love it. I love that Tim does get to, you know, capture a few of those moments. Then
he just won an award because someone captured that moment. I was 20 minutes too late. No one videoed it, but Jamie Scott got the shot.
Got a still of that one.
And hence he wins the biggest barrel ever surfed of the year.
Oh, well, there you know,
you
go.
So thank God for the media. Yeah, not for every surf spot, of course.
Right, well, the Big Wave Project, been working on it for 5 years. I bet you're excited to get it out there and get people to see it.
I can't wait to see it tonight. Tonight's going to be my first crack at having a look.
Round at Randwick, the Ritz.
Ritz tonight. Yeah. We did the world premiere last night at the Orpheum, and what an incredible cinema that is. And same with the Ritz. They're majestic cinemas that kind of retro vibe and a huge screen. Yeah. And to sit back and watch it like that is the ultimate place. And then we're touring it. We're going to the Balgala RSL on Friday night. Thursday night, Cronulla. Tomorrow night, Cronulla Cinemas. And then Friday night, we're at Balgala RSL in Palm Beach, where I live up in Avalon. So
nice.
Palmy RSL on Saturday night. And then we're off to WA, which Shannon Worrell's neck of the woods is. He's actually working on something that detracts the sharks, you know.
Oh, I've heard about this
really
big
cool
eye thing,
So, Shark Eyes.
Shark Eyes.
Yeah, sharkeyes.com.au. We've got together. There's myself, because I used to be an abalone diver and specimen shell diver, and kind of I had a few rough encounters. I've had a few good encounters as well with sharks. But so we got on to thinking of what we could do to help people be a bit safer. So we're passing on some knowledge that we were using as ab divers and as a shell diver, and passing that on to the public just to give them an option of a first line of defence.
Sounds a bit like the magpie thing where you put eyeballs on your head. You're putting eyeballs on the bottom of the board,
It's the same thing. It's so simple, but yet nature's proven this with adaption over a long period of time. And also, it's happening over in India, I think, is a good example where most people who don't surf can probably relate. They were getting a heap of tiger attacks over there in the Ganges there.
Okay.
And they started wearing face masks on the back of their head. And then they went from 60 deaths a year down to, when the mask got introduced, down to none.
Wow.
So the effectiveness has been proved, you know, even humans using it.
And it's such
before.
A humane way of dealing with it as well. You know?
Non-invasive, you know. Yeah, yeah. We're not promoting a shark net or a drum line. We can stay neutral with the politics of this one because there's so many touchy.
Oh, fantastic. Well, really good to hear.
No,
we've got to run, but thank you so much for coming on down to the show. Tonight, are there any tickets left people can go? Or
there's still tickets. We've actually expanded to the bigger cinema, we sold out of the medium, or the next one down.
Okay.
And they put us in the big cinema because we obviously... We've got such a crowd. I know that there's a lot of the surfers are turning up there, like Mark Matthews and Richie Vass. So the guys that actually competed in that Cape Fear event, which was pretty much the biggest swell that hit the East Coast last year, which is featured in the Big Wave Project. So
amazing.
It's going to be a good atmosphere.
I'm going to find it. I can't go tonight, but I'm going to find a screening and watch it somewhere. Thank you so much for coming on down. People can search for the Big Wave Project, find the tickets on there. Tim and Shannon, thanks for coming into 2SER.
Thanks, Mick. It's actually website is asmf.net.au, so it's Australian Surfing Movie Festival. .net.au, obviously abbreviated, cool. asmf.net.au. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. We'll put a link on the website
as well. We can just grab a ticket on the door.
All righty. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks,